Hello, and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and this week I'm hopping all the way across the Atlantic to Toronto to talk to a young lad from Limerick who's now living in Toronto for the last 5 years, Owen Keating. I'll be talking to Owen about growing up in Limerick and how he became a Wolves supporter, and about the times he went over to watch games in Wolverhampton, and how he's managing to keep in touch with Wolves now that he's living in Canada. Hope you enjoy it.
Tony.
Owen, how are you?
Good, how are you? Long time no see, how you been?
Jeez, I hardly recognise you with all that facial hair. Jeez.
Oh, yeah?
Am I the only one that hasn't grown a beard in the last year?
You know what, I probably had this the last time you saw me.
You probably did. So when was that? About 5 years ago?
I left for Canada 5 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking, well, it's probably normally one of the questions later on, but when was the last game? Did we meet you in Witherspoon's the morning after the last game you were at, wasn't it? You were having shots. And
no, that was a bit before, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, Jesus, I remember that one, the Jaeger bombs, remember?
But I still...
No, the last one I went to was in... I moved here in April, and it was in February of 2016.
Yeah.
So you'd asked me, and I was just trying to remember, because you said it in the email, who we played. I'm nearly sure it was Bournemouth or Brentford.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to remember there who it was, but we lost. You know what it was? I think we lost 2-0, and Doherty was sent off, and someone else was sent off.
That was Bournemouth. Van La Parra was sent off for challenging for a header in midfield, I think, and the two of them, he clashed heads. And he was sent off, yeah. I remember
that game. It was nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense? Was that around 2016?
Yeah, I think that was then. That was the year before Nuno took over, I think, wasn't it? Yeah,
because I moved here, and out of the blue, we were shit hot. And I said, this is class.
Stay there for another 10 years. No, I'm only joking.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it again a little bit, because I went through a patch there where I think I did 9 games in a row that finished. We lost 1-0.
Yeah.
9 in a row.
Yeah.
So I was a bit of a bad luck charm there for a while. But yeah, Jesus, we've come a long way, haven't we?
Oh, jeez, unbelievable. Yeah, yeah.
Obviously I miss my family a lot, but outside of that, the only thing that would have me drawn back to home is that I've missed this kind of golden era, you know?
Yeah. Well, I suppose we've all missed the last year and a bit.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, give them a little rest, you know, because it wasn't as up to the heights we've reached the last 3 years before that, you know. But
before that, yeah.
Hopefully it'll all come back. But
we'll see. I don't like what's gone on in the last 2 weeks. So
no,
I don't think anyone does.
It's a bit strange. It's been given so much time. I suppose it's kind of, you know, it seems strange to everybody, all of us on the outside. I mean, there has to be, and he kept saying this to the lads the other night, there has to be some logic from the organisation point of view, you know?
But you know what, Tony, when Laurie, what's his name?
Dalrymple.
When he left, and when he went out of the blue onto gardening leave, you kind of went, oh, that's a bit weird. And then Kevin Tedwell went, and you kind of, oh, and now there's something about it to me, like the Walter Zenga one was a big mistake.
Yeah.
And they got Nuno and they got lucky. And I don't think that they're gonna realize very quickly, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
Because I think that they said, oh, well, you know, we found him, we'll find another gem like him. And I don't think it works just as easy as they think it does.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the boat talking to the lads. I've been, you know, kind of trusting in them a little bit that they know what they're doing at this stage, that they're the type of people that learn from their mistakes and they learn quickly is the way I look at and hope that that's what's happening, you know, that they're,
yeah.
You know, but like, you know, football, it's a funny business, you know, it's not kind of, if I invest 2 million here at 10%, you know, I'll have me 10% in a year's time, you know, I mean, you can spend a billion in football and end up getting relegated. You could spend 50 million, luckily, and end up winning a blooming league, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a bit of a lottery, but hopefully they know what they're doing.
But
I hope so. But it's been a great couple of years.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
So are you looking at you stay? You planning on staying in Toronto for the foreseeable future anyway? Yeah.
I just bought a house in the last couple of weeks.
That answers that then.
that's me.
Yeah.
Well, I did it with my partner, my girlfriend. I've actually left Toronto.
Yeah.
We're about 2 hours north of the city, and we live in like the Lake District. So, the last year has kind of been a bit of a messy one in terms of myself and Ian were running a bar in downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
So of course that got shut down and locked down, and we all lost our jobs. And we didn't really know what was going to happen, where we were going to go. And then, you know, I just became a permanent resident.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing my girlfriend, and we'd always kind of said, you know, oh, the dream would be to live up here where we are at the moment, because it's hard to describe it, but it's like living in a holiday, in a vacation camp kind of, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We're on the lake. We're not on the lake, but her parents live up here and they're on the lake. We have Algonquin Park, which is a massive national park close to us. So there's biking trails, hiking trails, like incredible views, like wildlife, camping, all this sort of stuff. And it's just at our fingertips. So, I mean, we can decide at a minute's notice to go and do something that, you know, there's not many places in the world you can do some of this stuff.
Yeah. And what weather-wise, what compared to home?
So like during the winter here up where I am, it's pretty rough. Like you're looking at minus an average of between about minus 10 and minus 20.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, and a lot of snow. But then at the moment, we have 24 degrees today.
Yeah.
And it'll be pretty much steadily that and a little more. The weekend is to be 28, 29. So between 24 and 30 from now until the end of September.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You get four seasons, and that's part of what we love about here. Because during the winter I ski, all winter long, and then during the summer we're on the lake, and then the fall is great because you get a bit of reprieve from. It's not too hot, it's not cold.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's just some parts of this country that are incredibly beautiful and like completely untouched.
Yeah,
you know, it's Canada has the second biggest landmass per country in the world.
Yeah.
And the population's only 30 million. So it's just untouched and it's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
So all we need is a Wolves pre-season over in Canada.
Or Ireland to qualify for the World Cup, because Toronto is one of the host cities for 2026.
Yeah.
In that North American one. So
I don't think I'll be holding my breath on that one now.
I don't think I will be either, but you know, we just like the second they announced it, our eyes lit up, and we kind of said, "Jesus, you know, the chance to go and see Ireland in a World Cup, and the fact that it could be on our doorstep."
Yeah,
we'd never be so lucky.
You never know. We might turn it all around, but
long story short is, this is me. I'm not coming back.
Yeah, all right. Well, you're happy. That's the main thing in life. Once you're happy,
exactly. It was a good decision for me, Tony, because you know it was. Where I was and what I was doing, there was no upward growth for me. And if I had stayed a year longer, that was it. I was going to be there.
Yeah.
So, and with the way things have worked out, like it was kind of shitty at the time that the bar was shut down, and it's actually completely closed now.
Yeah.
But I now have a work from home job, and I can stop at 1 o'clock in the middle of the day and do a podcast with you and stuff like that. And the freedom's unreal. So
that's brilliant. Yeah. Because one of the lads up in Belfast, his lad was due. I mean, we'd arranged, I think it was the Bournemouth game last season.
That's
the last game he would have been around, and arranged tickets for him, and he was heading off to Australia and everything. We didn't even get to the Bournemouth game. You know, everything just shut down. So he's been, you know, trying to keep himself occupied for the last year.
My brother was in a similar situation. He had a transfer in place with his job. They were sending him to San Diego for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he was buzzing. He was ready to go. And then, anyway.
That's such is life, as they say.
Such is life, especially at the moment, unfortunately.
Anyway, getting on all things Wolves anyway. Well, before Wolves, what did you play much ball when you were growing up in Limerick?
Yeah, I played a lot of football, actually. So I started out, I originally, we lived in Cork, so I was with College Corinthians.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I first started out as a really young fella. And then we moved to Limerick in 98, I think it was. And I started playing with Regional United. And then I played with them most of my youth. And then I did 1 year with Fairview Rangers.
Pretty good.
Yeah, my last year of youth football was with, I think it was my last year, maybe my second last year, was with Fairview Rangers. And we had a serious team. We got to, we got the National Cup semi-final. We were beaten by Dundalk in Oriel Park.
Yeah. Well, a great
1-0.
Fairview been brilliant over the last just 20, 25 years, let's say more. Yeah.
It's a fantastic club. You know, I mean, as clubs in Limerick go, like the facilities that they've got there, and even just keeping an eye on it from here, they've just built a new stand and the pitch is always, it was a great place to play. And the coaches I had there were top class.
Excellent, yeah. Yeah.
Best I've ever had.
Did you go into senior football then?
I went into senior football, yeah. I took a year out because I had to repeat my leaving cert because I probably spent too much time focusing on the football. So I took a year out and then I went back and I went back to Regional United into their senior football. And they had a very good side and I'm not the biggest lad. So it was a bit above me at 18 years old. So yeah. I left them after a couple of seasons and spent about 5 years with Munger Regional.
All right.
Yeah. Played a lot with Munger for 5 years and then I moved to Dublin for work.
Yeah.
And then I started playing with Drumcondra.
Ah, right, right.
I played 3 years with drums until I headed to Canada.
Yeah. I find with when a lot of the transition from schoolboy to junior or senior football is a tough one because, you know, it's just this physically and mentally, you know, that like a lot of guys there, you'd see them and you'd say, yeah, I'm no bother with this guy, you know. And sure, the guy is there 2 steps before you even think you're gonna go for the ball, you know. But
you know, I suppose I was lucky enough that I played decent football for most of my life, and the idea that I'm just gonna knock it past this lad and skin him because he's a bit older, that was never really the case, you know. Yeah. I'm still playing. I play for a team called Toronto Irish here. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, and we play in the top division in Ontario.
Yeah,
here. So it's quite good. Now I've just obviously moved out of the city, so and there's been no football for the last year and a half.
Yeah,
but I just became chairman of the club, so helping run the club from up here. Still involved heavily.
Gary, be proud of you.
Yeah.
Getting involved in committees with them.
I
was going to say, so where, how did Wolves come in? I assume there's some connection with the older lads that Wolves came into your picture.
No, my outfielder is a rugby lad through and through.
Yeah.
He was never a football lad. And what it was for me was when I was 8 years old and young and impressionable, Wolves had a player by the name of Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
Who was the next big thing in Irish football, and
it was the last big thing in Irish football.
Irish football too. So I started watching Wolves because of Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
And I suppose by the time I got heavily invested, he was only there for a year and then he was gone again. But it was enough. And you know, I suppose one of my very earliest memories would have been the Cup semi-final against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And that day. And I suppose when you have a day, like even as a young fella, when your team is playing in a game like that, then there's no going back, is there?
No.
Yeah, and then I suppose I started following them then and then I never stopped and I was the only young fella in town and then as far as I knew.
Yeah.
And then I was wearing my Wolves shirt one day in school. We were doing a football tournament or something in school and I was approached by Garrett Cotter. He said, you're not a Wolves fan, so everyone knows the Cotters, I think.
Yes.
They am. So then I struck up a friendship with the Cotters from that point, and there was a couple more around. And then, of course, I met my good pal Ian.
Yeah.
And we were playing football against each other. And then we kind of had our own little group between ourselves. And just as it happened, now Gareth, Shane, Ian, and myself are all living in Canada.
Yeah.
So we have a mini Toronto Limerick Wolves supporters branch over here, you know.
Oh yeah, you'll qualify for Worldwide Wolves with that, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, we
register as an official club.
We do have a Toronto branch registered.
Yeah.
So we do, yeah. We've met, you know, since we started all getting together for the games over here. The bar that myself and Ian were running was actually the biggest football bar. So we were opening at 7:30 a.m. to show every game, and every Premier League game was shown.
Yeah.
So every now and then you find a new fella come through wearing the Wolves scarf or the Wolves shirt, and
yeah,
we'd all exchange numbers. And then we started, and to the point where for the cup semi-final against Watford 3 years ago, we had about 50 lads together.
Yeah.
People traveling 2 or 3 hours to come to watch that game. So
yeah,
we all connected in the end.
Yeah, because it always comes up when I'm talking to the lads that, you know, if you're with the top United and Liverpool and, you know, City, they have their fan. But, you know, if you're a Wolves fan, people, you know, you have a habit of finding each other, and there's a special bond nearly that I think a lot of the bigger clubs don't manage to get, you know.
But, it's funny, you know, it's like you made a friend immediately when you meet someone wearing a Wolves shirt, and somewhere where you're not expecting to find someone wearing a Wolves shirt.
Yeah. But it's like it's you know, Jesus, there's another one. You know, there's more than one, because everyone thinks that in Ireland, or, you know, say you're in Canada, I'm the only Wolves fan around, you know. And you know, and when you see other lads, you say, Jesus, you know, it's great. Well, I always think we do great advertising anyway, walking around streets and wearing the gear, and people kind of, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I remember walking the streets here a couple of years ago and seeing a young fella couldn't have been more than 10 years old in a full strip head to toe. I nearly ran across the street to chat to him.
I was walking down the village here year and a half ago, and I saw this couple with a kid in the coffee in the Costa, and the young lad was wearing the Wolves top, you know. So I was wondering, ah, shit. So I went in, had a chat with them. They were heading on holidays, and the young lad, mad Wolves fan, lives a few miles away, you know. So
brilliant.
You never know where you're going to meet them. But
hopefully, our recent success will help breed a younger supporters base in Ireland anyway, and get more young lads involved.
Yeah, you're the young generation.
We used to be.
You recall the first game you managed to get over to see?
Yeah, first game for me was 2003-2004, our first Premier League season.
Yeah.
It was at the end of the season, my outfield brought me over. It was Everton at home.
Yeah.
Hopefully I brought myself and my brother over. We beat them 2-1. We were 1-0 down. Leon Osman scored early doors. Mm. And we came back in the second half. Carl Court scored. And then Henry Kamara knocked one in off the bar with about 5 minutes ago. It was a cracker. So it was. And I remember because Wayne Rooney was playing for Everton that day.
Yeah.
He was 17 years old or so. And Wolves fans were giving him plenty of guff. And,
you know,
but it was a great game. It was a great experience.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season, I think we were actually might have been relegated that day.
Yeah, I was going to say you were lucky to manage to get to a winning game in that season.
It was a great buzz. So yeah, it was great, and you know, I think we stayed in Birmingham that night, but we spent, you know, my outfit was great. He brought us all around and into the club store. When you're that age, there's nothing better, is there?
Oh, geez, yeah. The kick,
yeah,
it's almost replaced
many a game since, but I'll never forget that one.
Yeah. Oh, geez, yeah. As you say, that been a memorable game for you. But have you any other games since then that you were at that you fondly remember?
The one that I'll never, as long as I live, will forget will be the one that we lost on the last day of the season to Blackburn.
Yeah.
3-2. So there was a good story to that one. So I remember because I would have been 20 years old at the time. I had a part-time job while I was in college, and it was to basically fuel my addiction of getting over to games.
Yeah.
So back now, you know, Ryanair was great for that.
Yeah.
I'd work weekends as much as I could to get a few pounds together to be able to afford to get over for a game.
Yeah.
And my good pal Ian, for my birthday that year, had come up with 2 tickets to Wolves versus Blackpool. We beat them 4-0 that day.
Yeah.
As my birthday present, he got us the tickets, and then we got their flights and we went over. So I said I better return the favour for when his birthday came around. So it was his 21st birthday, I remember. So I had taken care of the flights and the tickets to the game.
Yeah.
Last game of the season, Blackburn. We had to get a result to stay up. There was us and 5 other teams, and difficulty going down. So we got to Cork Airport the morning of the game. Yes. We were on the red eye 6 a.m. flight, and I had the Ryanair tickets in my backpack, and he says, right, whip out the tickets. So I whipped it out, looked at the date, gave him the ticket. I remember we were flying into Birmingham, and then we were flying out of East Midlands.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, this is the wrong ticket. You're after giving me the flight home ticket. This is the East Midlands ticket. No, and we didn't have a penny. We had enough money to get over there, get our few points, have a good time, yeah. And that was it.
Yeah.
He said, no, no, that's today's date. That's today's one. And he looked at me and went, oh, bollocks. I booked the wrong flight. Oh. So the flight home had just actually landed in Cork, and it was meant to be, I booked it for the wrong day.
Oh.
So we had a flight to get there.
Yeah.
But we had no way home.
Yeah.
So we were left stood in the airport looking at each other going, oh, we can't miss this, can we? But we can't afford a last minute flight to get back.
Yeah.
So we said, get in the plane, we'll figure it out when we get there.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't miss it. So we got in the plane, got to the pub, got a few points into us, and called Dean's dad, Brendan, who everyone, I think a lot of the lads will know quite well. He's been to go a few of the games.
Met him a few times.
We're in a bit of difficulty here. We're in Wolverhampton, and we just realised we'd no flight home. And he lost the head in us completely. A few points into us, went to the game. We were 3-0 down at halftime.
Yep.
And we were gone. I remember being in the Jacksonville New at halftime, and people were saying, that's it, McCarthy's done, he's sacked.
Yeah.
Then we came back, O'Hara got a goal, and then Stephen Hunt scored with about 2 minutes to go to keep us up, and the place went nuts. So we'll never forget that one, because even though we lost, scoring a goal with 2 minutes to go to keep you in the division was always an exciting one, and the fact that we nearly missed the game was a good one.
That definitely added to it. Not that that day didn't need anything added to it, but that certainly added a bit of spice to the day beforehand.
Brendan wasn't too impressed when he had to fork out about 250 quid to get us home the next day.
Ah, sure, he's all right. I'm sure you ended up paying back in some way anyway.
I don't know if we ever did. He'll tell you we never did anyway. That's a fact.
So that's your memorable games anyway, yeah. Just on players, I know you mentioned Robbie Keane earlier on. Would you have any other players that would have taken your eye over the years?
At the moment, I don't think I've ever seen anyone quite like Joe Moutinho in a Wolves jersey. He's just a different class.
Good on you.
I get awful grief off the lads, because once a game, we just send a text message into our group chat that says Joe Moutinho with the love heart emoji, you know. they think that in my eyes, he can do nothing wrong. But he's just incredible.
Yeah.
I never thought we'd be so lucky to see a player like that in a Wolves jersey.
Nice to meet someone with actually the same thoughts on a player as myself, because
great minds think alike, Tony.
When the Worldwide Wolves started up there 3 years ago, they voted the player of the year, and it was Moutinho. So as we won the Irish or the Overseas Supporters Club, and Telford Wolves won the UK Supporters Club of the Year, and we got to present the cup to Moutinho on the pitch the last game of the season, you know. And I'd even watch him now. I think he's lucky that the referees can't seem to read his face he does these tackles and he does these little nudges on players, and you can see it, and he looks at the ref then, sorry.
He gets away with murder. It's incredible, because his engine is unbelievable.
Yeah.
When Wolves are 1-0 down with 5 minutes to go in a game, the man who's always out there trying to fight for the ball, he never stops. He's brilliant. I suppose other than him, I've always had a fondness for the Irish players, Doherty, and I remember Andy Keogh. I remember we happened to keep bumping into Andy Keogh and developed a bit of a relationship with him back in the day. And remember being on, catching a few flights, and him coming back from Ireland, Judy coming back from games, and chatting with him, and he was always great. So I always had a soft spot for Andy Keogh, which not a lot of Wolves fans always had.
Yeah, but in fairness, he put in a lot. I think a lot of people, they criticised his goal scoring, but he gave a huge amount of, huge amount of off the ball support for players, and,
Yeah.
I mean, he did He scored our first goal in the Premier League, didn't he, when we went back with McCarthy against Wigan, was it? Away to Wigan, I think.
That was on the topics of my least favourite player of all time scored our first one. It was Stefan Meerhoffer in a 5-1 loss to Blackburn.
That's right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt, like, to say worst Wolves player I've ever seen, I would say the worst professional footballer I've ever seen.
It was funny.
In my life.
I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, one of the lads, and we were talking about games. It was actually Faulkner, and he was saying about, you know, arriving at Old Trafford for the famous game where Mick put out the second team.
I was
in the United end beside the Wolves fans, and I was saying, and I says, oh, sure, the team he picked, and I couldn't think of Meyerhofer's name, but he was the player I was picking out as an example of how weak the team was. You know?
How bad it was. he was just, what I remember from him, he was 6'7", and he couldn't jump 2 inches off the ground.
Yeah, yeah. He fell backwards when he jumped.
Yeah, he was just brutal. So he was. And yeah, it's funny, me and Ian talk about it all the time, just how much he drove us nuts. And I remember that one of the times that I bumped into Kieran, I was burning his ear on the flight on the way back and asking him this and asking him that. And I remember talking about Meerhoffer, and he was shite. Like, he was funny. Like, he, without giving away too much, he always gave you a little bit back. And I remember him turning to me and saying, listen, you think he's bad in games, you should see him in training. He doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
He doesn't belong in football. He was just brutal. He played for Bayern Munich and other teams. It was just incredible how bad he was. It was a comment.
Yeah. But yeah. Then managers, I suppose McCarthy will be one of your favourites, but who was your favourite managers in your time?
I was always a Mick fan. I don't think we'll ever be as lucky to see someone like Nuno come through again if we are, you know.
Yeah.
In my generation anyway, he was just brilliant, and you know, what he did for us over the last few years. And then I had a lot of love for Kenny Jackett as well for what he did for us in that time, you know. You know, I know you were talking a couple of weeks ago about the numbers of our supporters club and how they took a dwindle in the year that we were down in League One and how there was less. But for those of us who were still going over regularly, it had been 3 years of shite, you know. Yeah. And he started to make it fun again, you know.
Because
he took us to the Championship, and that was as far as he was ever going to take it. But
yeah,
he did a fantastic job for what he was brought in to do. And
yeah,
you know, it definitely changed the atmosphere from going over for doom and gloom and, you know, what's it going to be today to, oh, this is great. And, you know, I was there the day that we lifted the League One trophy. I know it's the League One trophy, but not many football fans get to see their team lift the trophy. So,
it was a great experience. I suppose managers, it's two levels, kind of, you know, the ones that bring you success in the Premier League and, I mean, unfortunately, success in the Championship or League One is winning it for Wolves anyway, you know. But, because I remember that season, we went over to a good few games with Noel, and I remember probably December, early December, going over to games and being up, you know, for the 6:30 flights and going over and saying, you know, we were playing, no disrespect to any team, but I think we were playing Chesterfield or something, you know, and saying to Noel, oh, Jesus, what are we doing? and we were winning games, and like, it was great at the start of the season to be winning games again and to be like free, you know, carefree football, and we were, you know, steamrolling.
We were scoring goals, which we hadn't done, Tony, in five or six years, you know.
You know, 46 games in League One, though, kind of halfway through, we'd be into the wear.
Hope we never see it again, but...
No, hopefully not.
You know, I have a very good friend over here who's a Sunderland fan, and, you know, it just goes to show how easy it can happen.
Yeah, well,
they did the exact same thing as us with back-to-back relegations, and now they're stuck.
Yeah, I was just watching them there last week, and, you know, getting knocked out of the playoffs. And we were over at the... Myself and Mick were at the last game before we got promoted under Noon in the Championship, when we the League One, and we were in Sunderland. Sunderland won 3-0, and they were actually relegated as well. They'd been relegated anyway at that stage. So we were top, they were bottom, and they beat us 3-0. And you know, to see them, we were there, and lovely people in Sunderland. You know, you'd always go to a pub, any pub afterwards, and they'll chat to you, and, you know, no problems. And I mean, even though they won, we've been there two or three times before, but like, you know, you're kind of saying, ah, lads, you'll be back up again next year, you know. And here you are, 3 years plus later, you know. And no sign for them. We're saying.
No.
Anyway, I suppose we better wrap it up fairly shortly. One, the last question I normally ask people is what they think for next season. But it's probably a bit of a pie in the sky at this stage, just trying to figure it out. But are you happy? Are you convinced with one or two names that have been mentioned as a new manager?
Obviously it's looking like it's going to be Bruno Lage, but his record is very good.
Yeah.
But it's also a pretty small sample size.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think he's been in charge of 70 games in his career. He's won 50 something of them, but
yeah,
it's not the Premier League. And what we will say is that we've seen lots of unknowns come in terms of Saul Backend and Walter Zingas that have gone wrong that we had high hopes for. And then I suppose I've learned over the years to manage my expectations. And when Nuno came in, I'm thinking, okay, well, we'll see. But that worked out. So all you can do is hope it can work out. But I think that there's a lot of improvement needs to be made in the squad.
Yeah.
If we're going to be competitive and, you know, looking at it right now, I would worry about next year in the direction that we're heading. And, you know, and then you see some of the reports that some of the players that might be on the way out, potential that they're willing to listen to offers for Neves, who's a huge player for us, and for Rui Patricio, who's a huge player for us. And, that's slightly worrying, but, you know, I think no matter what happens, there's 5 or 6 players need to come into that squad to shore it up if we want to get back to where we were 2 years ago and challenging for European spots.
Just to freshen things up anyway, So hopefully, hopefully, fingers crossed, everything, you know, will work out as it did 4 years ago for us, and we'll be sailing again next season. Listen, Owen, thanks a mil. Great to talk to you, and hopefully we'll see you soon in a game and sometime in the future.
Hopefully, if they'll allow us out of jail.
Okay, thanks very much. See you, Owen. Take care.
Cheers, bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.